When it comes to drinking alcohol and health, public warnings are getting more stringent. The World Health Organization said last month that the old standard of one or two drinks a day poses increased medical risks. And there's a new message coming out of Canada. Less is best and no amount is good for you. Even moderate drinking can lead to cancer and heart disease. One author of the new guidelines is Dr. Tim Namey. He's director of the Canadian Institute for Substance Use Research. Dr. Namey, welcome.
Oh, thanks. Hi, Scott.
A lot of people think about drinking and bad outcomes like drunk driving accidents, perhaps violence in the home. But what do we know about drinking and health problems, heart disease and cancer?
You know, alcohol can contribute to about 50 different conditions that can lead to premature death. And when you put all those risks together, we see the risk of death begins to increase, starting at 3 drinks per week, which is quite a low amount.
So 3 drinks per week. Talk about the key categories, zones that are most important for people to know in the guidelines.
Sure. The no risk zone is no consumption. And then there's a low risk zone, which is up to a couple of drinks per week. Moderate risk zone is up to 6 drinks a week. And then higher risk is 7 above per week. You know, we recognize that a lot of people who drink aren't, you know, willing or able to get down to 2 or 3 drinks a week. So we'd really rather reach people where they are. And the point is that if you drink, you know, 4 drinks a day and you can cut down to 3 drinks a day or 2 drinks a day, that's going to be really, really important.
Under the guidelines, what is that group of persons at higher risk for?
There are a lot of conditions that people may not be familiar with. The important one is that alcohol is causally related to 7 different kinds of cancer, including colon cancer and breast cancer. This is an area where most Canadians and most folks from the U.S. aren't aware of those relationships. Alcohol is classified and has been by the World Health Organization as a class 1 carcinogen, and that's keeping the same company with cigarette smoke, asbestos, and benzene. So it's a potent carcinogen, and the risk of that starts to go up with any consumption. A standard drink has about the same amount of cancer-causing potential as 1 to 2 cigarettes.
Yeah.
So that's one way to think about it. Another way to think about it, well, for something like breast cancer in women, for every drink per day that a woman consumes additionally on average, they have about somewhere between an 8 and a 10% increase over their baseline risk of developing breast cancer. And there are estimates that somewhere about 15% of all breast cancers are attributable to alcohol.
Can you describe the risks of alcohol with heart disease?
Sure. Again, a lot of people don't realize this. Alcohol increases your risk for all forms of heart disease, including coronary heart disease, you know, i.e. heart attacks, congestive heart failure, you know, where the fluid backs up, and also high blood pressure and irregular heart rhythms.
Wow. Okay. On behalf of listeners who say, well, hold on a second. What about the research about the benefits of red wine?
You know, it turns out that red wine drinkers tend to be quite socially advantaged as a group. They tend to exercise a lot. They tend to have good incomes and health insurance. And so red wine drinking is actually sort of a marker of well-being and social status and not its cause, if you understand. So the difference between causation and association. So the thinking now scientifically is sort of the health halo around red wine is more to do with the characteristics of who drinks it as opposed to the beverage itself.
Curious what the reaction has been, say, from the alcoholic beverage industry. How have they responded so far?
So the industry is pushing back heavily against labeling for standard drinks and also for any kind of warning labels. It's hard for individual people to change behaviors. And we know that to change the behaviors around cigarettes or alcohol or other behaviors, it really helps to have supportive public policies in place. So we also call on the government to implement those supportive policies to help people drink less. One of them specifically that relates to the guidelines is having mandatory labels on alcohol containers that say how many standard drinks are in a container. You know, right now in Canada, as in the U.S., there's no information if I buy a bottle of whiskey on how many drinks are in that container or how many ounces, you know, constitutes a standard drink. this would be in stark contrast to, you know, if you go to the grocery store and you buy a can of peas, it tells you in great detail how many servings there are and how big the serving size is, right? And here we have, you know, an intoxicating, potentially addictive carcinogen, and there's no information on how many standard drinks are in the label. And if we're trying to make guidelines, you know, give people some quantitative framework by which to consider reducing their drinking, but they don't know how much they're drinking, then that's kind of a problem.
Dr. Tim Namey directs the Canadian Institute for Substance Use Research, and he's professor of public health at the University of Victoria in British Columbia. Dr. Namey, thanks for the time.
All right, Scott. Appreciate it.